Welkom. Strijders voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. Dit is de Jensen Roadshow 2024. Zonder jullie financiële steun hadden we dit nooit kunnen doen. Steun ons als je dit waardeert. Ga naar jensen.nl.
Mijn roadtrip brengt me naar het diepe zuiden van Europa, Jerez in Andalusia in Spanje. In de push voor globalisatie is het natuurlijk duidelijk dat individuele culturen onder druk staan. Sterker nog, de Griezels willen ons allemaal hetzelfde maken. Ik wil uitzoeken in welke landen er nog een eigen cultuur is en of het aan het verdwijnen is. Spanje staat natuurlijk voor zon, zee, eten en drank. Drank, ja, sherry, is een eeuwenoude drank en was in de jaren 80 nog verantwoordelijk voor meer dan 10% van de Spaanse economie. Nu, in 2024, is er niks meer van over. Hoe kan dat? Ik ben op bezoek bij de Rolls Royce van de sherrymakers Bodegas Tradición. De baas David neemt mij mee naar een plek waar bijna niemand wordt toegelaten. In dit museum is niet alleen de eeuwenoude geschiedenis van sherry te vinden, maar ook de geschiedenis van het land zelf.
David, this is the archive, or yes. what do you call it? It's almost like a museum.
This is a historical archive. This has all of the documents related to the foundation or the founding of Bodegas Tradición CZ. Okay, yeah. So this is one of the oldest bodegas in Jerez, if not the oldest. Historically, it was founded in 1650. Mm. Okay. It goes all the way to 1978, when, due to different reasons, the family ends up selling part of the business, right? And they let go of the bodega. In 1998, 20 years later, the grandson of the person who had lost the bodega, had sold the bodega, decides that he wants to recuperate and refound it and start again, which is the founding of Bodegas Tradición. Mm. So Bodegas Tradición officially starts in 1998, but there's a link back to 1650.
Huge history.
And this represents all of the history that we have, which is over 400 years worth of documents, showing the family legacy from the 17th century all the way to now. This is stunning because when the bodega was sold in 1978, this was sold too, and kept in. You know, it kept in a warehouse.
It well.
In a warehouse, in boxes.
Really?
And suddenly, when it was founded again, 1998, Joaquin Rivero found this and decided to return it back to here. So now we're just classifying all of the documents because we've got thousands of documents.
Yeah.
This is the history of Spain for the last 400 years, and it takes its documents. It includes sales. It includes letters requesting wine. We've got letters.
So this is from 1749.
Yes.
Wow.
The oldest document. I don't know if we have it here, but it's 1650. But you know,
1707.
1701.
Oh, one. I once saw an interview with, maybe you never heard of him, but he passed away, but his name was Albert Heijn.
Yeah.
And this,
yeah.
But you know Albert Heijn, the supermarket. Told me you lived in Holland for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But Albert Heijn said in that interview that they were the biggest sherry buyers in the world at some point.
Yes.
And that's why I remember my parents drinking sherry.
Yeah.
But also, that seemed to have disappeared. But yeah. Albert Heijn was the biggest, wholesale sherry buyer in the world. I don't know if he claimed it.
And it could be true because it was in the post Second World War era, in the 60s, end of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. There was a huge boom in all over Europe, and it was the beginning of big supermarkets like Albert Heijn and all the major supermarkets chains, and they were buying at bulk. So that's the era where I was telling you before the industrialization came in. It used to be a very handcrafted type of traditional business up until the huge demand that came in the 60s and 70s in Holland, in the UK, Northern Europe. And then, in fact, back then, which was Franco era, he was subsidizing the production of wine in a way. Prior to joining the EU, So there was a lot of volume. There was a lot of volume, and costs went down. So it was fairly cheap to buy sherry at that
but
time.
But probably the quality also suffered a bit. Because,
exactly.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem that we had from a business perspective.
Yeah.
It is at the end of that era in the 80s, beginning when Spain joined the EU in 86, that all of the grants were taken away. So the subsidies were taken away. Then suddenly people said, "Well, how can we keep the quality? We can't." They had
quantity.
Yes, exactly.
There was none.
And that's when Tradición came in and said, "Right, we're going to do the opposite of what the industry is doing. We're going to concentrate on doing the things right."
So the EU stopped subsidizing basically
Spain. Something
that's very traditional Spanish.
Yeah. It was
bloody EU. We're not going to get into politics. We're not going to get into politics. Shall we go to the bodega?
Yes, definitely.
That's funny.
We'll go.
Here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Robert.
I'm Agatha.
Agatha. Nice to meet you. You work here in the Tradición.
Yes.
And you can explain to us a little bit about the complexity of creating this product. It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's like as well the magic of it, like how complex it is.
Yeah.
This is where like everything begins.
Yeah.
So like the first part of producing sherry could be the easier one for people to understand.
Yeah.
Because what we need is to just make the base wine. So we need to harvest the grapes, we're going to have the pressing, the fermentation of that mass, and then we have our base wine for the year. So with that base wine, if what you want to produce is a sherry, then we need to fortify that wine.
Yeah, and it's basically a layer of
yeast.
Almost it looks like dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that works. That works with the wine underneath,
yes.
And that creates this the special.
It is. That is like for me the magic of sherry.
Yeah.
That's gonna be the biological age. What it happens is that veil of yeast that we talk about. Those are different strains of the Saccharomyces yeast. So they're gonna be on top of the wine over time, and then they're going to be consuming the residual sugar, glycerol, different components of the wine, and also they're going to keep it protected from the oxygen. That's why those wines are always going to remain very pale in color. That's why if you try a Fino, like we're going to try now, it's going to be very pale in color because no oxidation happened, even though we always leave a space empty in the barrel.
How long do you keep it in the barrel for?
So in our case, we do, so the normal thing for a Fino would be to be aged in between 3 to 5 years.
So 3 to 5 years, people should also take this into account when you compare it to wines.
Yeah. Minimum 2 years.
Yeah, it's minimum 2 years. Mm-hmm. Where in wines, most of the time, they, you know, the 12, 13 months.
And exactly. Then,
and here it goes on. And even the other products, which we'll get to later,
it's
much, much, much longer.
For sure, yeah.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah, of course.
I love that just where it starts, the grape, the Palomino grape.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's there.
We can do, you know your stuff.
Yeah.
So this is what we call sobre tablas. You can see it's very pale because it's still like very young. So let's see how that is.
Yeah, because that's really the base.
Yeah, like you see, like you already can see like the influence of the yeast, but it's still like just our base wine that has been under the layer for a few months.
Mm-hmm. I'll speak to the boss about this, but you know, for example, for a beginner, this is a delicious drink. I think the Palomino grapes it lends itself to a normal wine, as in, because it's delicious.
Yeah.
I'll talk to the boss. We'll develop together. We'll put it on the market together for the beginner, and then people can get started, you know, with the more complex.
Yeah.
But this is it's unbelievable.
Yes.
I want people to know how beautiful this drink is, but it's also, and this is for the health conscious people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's super low on sugar. On,
oh yes,
it's basically the most healthy alcohol very, you can drink.
Because as we were saying, so as the layer of yeast is going to be interacting, it's going to be feeding off the sugar and glycerol. All phenols finish with, like, the normal thing will be to be less than 1 gram of sugar per liter.
Yeah. So. That's very low.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. A good advertisement. I like it.
Listen. I'm your biggest promoter.
Yeah,
I discovered it 4 years ago, and at first it was, you know, I had to get used to it, and then I started to understand it.
Yeah.
And I thought, now I've become an advocate.
Yeah, amazing.
And I think you guys are the best.
Yeah,
but there's some other good ones too, and great ones. But Tradition, I think, is the best. What's next? You see, I don't spit, huh?
Yeah, you don't. I love that. So, you want to go to the...
It's 10 in the morning. This will go over the heads of a lot of people who are watching this, most people. But what I want to point out is just how incredibly long the process is, how intricate it is, and how much age there is, how much time this spends.
Yes.
I mean, so we're talking about 12 years, 30 years, even longer.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what you're drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, our older wines, in fact, this is the only bodega in Jerez that specializes in the oldest certified wine. So you've got the VORS, so you know it's a very old sherry in English. And those are over 30 years. And we've got three of those. The Oloroso, Amontillado, Palo Cortado. And then the VOS, which is very old sherry, which is over 20. So all of our production is a minimum of 20 all the way to 40, 45 years old.
And this is what people should understand.
Yeah.
This is what makes it special. And this is why it should not disappear. Not from international culture, but also not in Spanish culture. And I'm promoting it amongst my Spanish young friends as much as I can.
Well, in fact, it's a good point because we're making wine now, not for us.
It's true.
It's for the following generation. Yes, so we will never taste most of the wines that we're making now.
I mean, I get goosebumps. That is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. And it's for us, it's the responsibility to continue this. Because the same, we're drinking now what our predecessors made 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's just that transition going on. And we just need to keep the legacy and pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah.
Because that's our responsibility, really.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous. And you know what my favorite is? It's the Amontillado. Amontillado, the ones you do is unbelievable. If you get in, if you start to understand it, it's beautiful.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
Yes.
Maybe we'll have a glass. Okay, so here we come to my favorite of favorites.
Yes.
Is an Amontillado. Now, how do we explain that? What is an Amontillado?
So, an Amontillado, with your permission, I'm going to steal it from you.
Of course.
So, an Amontillado is an evolution of a fino.
Yeah.
So, it is a fino that
Fino is the entry level. Let's put it that way. It starts with the entry level.
Biological,
and then...
But this is completely different.
And then you see different colors. Mm. This is much more aged.
Yeah, exactly. Because, a fino, as we were saying, it is protected with that layer of yeast. But then over time, or of course, if you want, you can force it. But in our case, that is the reason why our fino is so old, because we just wanted the yeast to die naturally and then turn into an Amontillado by itself, we can say, in a way. So this wine has been a fino for 10, 12 years, and then the rest of its life has been aging in contact with the oxygen. That is the other type of aging that we have in sherry.
So how old is this now?
So this one, it finishes with like 40, 42 years now.
42 years.
And as you can see, it has completely different color, has like...
So what's the process after this? with this wine. Is this finished?
So, yeah, it is. Basically, yeah. So all of our wines are what we call en rama. So that means basically from the barrel to the bottle. Mm-hmm. So we just need to do a like security filter. But besides that, it is...
Security filter?
As your... Exactly.
I'm risking my life here for an amontillado. Well,
no,
that's
but
no
just
rule.
In case,
no, no, no.
Like, a little like insect or something.
Can you imagine me doing such a good job promoting your
yes.
amontillados,
like,
your vinos, and I die here in the bodega? David, finally we can sit down and have a drink together.
Ah, thank you very much.
I've got three drinks going at the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, yeah, you're doing well. Yes. I'm very impressed. I stick to one.
Yes, yes, yes. But so, let's get a little bit more into, this is, by the way, the Olo Rosso.
Olo Rosso. Mm. That's, yeah.
Mm. Beautiful. But let's get a bit more into, Spanish people... They also starting to drink sherry less. The younger generation almost doesn't get it. Yeah. What is it? Is it marketing? Is it promotion? Is it a taste thing? But I don't believe in a taste thing because, you know, it's more difficult for people to understand in the beginning. It's not as easy as maybe wine or a beer. But the first time you drink a beer, you don't like it.
Right.
So the first time you drink a sherry, you're probably not going to like it. But when you start drinking it more,
yeah.
But people tend to not get into it here in Spain. Right. In Spain. Yeah. So what's your?
I think there's a lot more competition than there used to be. Also, so there's a lot of more options out there, which are easier to understand. At the moment of ordering a drink, so that which we were talking about before, I think when everyone wants to feel comfortable ordering, especially in front of others,
yeah.
So there's that sense of I want to buy something that is good, that I'm comfortable with, and sherry, it's like we've seen it's a bit more complex than the regular wines. It involves a lot more education, so I think one of the things that we've been missing is a way of showing how. A simple way of talking about the benefits and the treasure there is behind this wine, and getting people to try it. I think it's easier. It's Rioja or Ribera. It's what do you want? A beer or whiskey.
Or whiskey. I get your point there.
And
yeah.
then simple cocktails like a gin tonic or vodka orange or this and the other.
Because this is definitely not a superficial drink.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's complex.
Very complex. Yeah,
complex.
It is.
And people are probably thinking, why are we talking about it so passionately?
Yeah.
But it's a national treasure of Spain.
It is.
And why is so much that is a treasure in Spain? Why does it seem to be reclining? Why the interest? I mean, we're talking about, you know, like flamenco or even this controversial bullfighting, but it seems to be. Diminishing. I don't know. In sherry.
Yeah.
What do you have a take on it that you
like
could
you
share?
Said, you were asking what is it that we're missing in terms of making this popular again. I think there's a lot of marketing and promotion that if we had more funds, more money to educate people and to have tastings and to have people liquid to lips, which is something that so for me, and I know it's an acquired taste in one, they're all you got very dry wines all the way to very sweet, so that there's a drink for everyone. That's one of the big benefits in sherry. You've got very dry and you've got very sweet, so in between there's 5, 6, 7 different wines in sherries that you can choose the one that is best for you. But at the end of the day, I think if we had more funds and did a bit more of education in terms of promotion, that I think we could eventually, you know, overturn this declining trend.
Because that goes hand in hand. If there's less money coming in, you don't have as much money to...
Exactly. The way Tradición is doing it is we think there's, in general, in the world, people are drinking less but better. So there's a premiumization trend in all drinks. And I think the one thing that Raytheon does very well is like, listen, this is not for everyone. We've got the best quality sherry there is. If you're going to try something, try the good stuff.
Yeah.
Which, and sorry to say, but it's Raytheon is potentially.
Hey, I've said it best, many times on behalf of you.
And so we focus on having people taste the best because not all sherry is the same. Like not all red wine is the same. I think there's potentially.
And it's also something that's obvious that it's now in the minds of people, because like I said before, Albert Heijn used to carry it in Holland.
Yeah.
But it was something your parents drank.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your grandparents drank.
Yes.
So there is this stigma.
There's a stigma. Exactly. And it happens, for example, in the UK. It was my grandmother's. So I'm half English. My grandmother used to have in her cabinet sweet sherry.
Yeah.
And people want to break from that sometimes. It depends, but mostly.
Well, it's not a hipster drink.
Exactly.
At the moment.
Yeah.
At the moment.
But something similar happened with brandy. Brandy used to be a huge market in Spain, and it has been declining versus, for example, whiskeys and rums and different drinks. There's a stigma. In my opinion, this is cyclical. So I always say we're an accident away of getting into a trend. And I think for sherry, the future is the way I see sherry working really well is with pairings, with food pairings. There is nothing like a sherry paired with the complexity of sherry comes to life.
But it's once again oysters and oysters and sherry.
It's mind-boggling.
Puta madre.
And we have six. So, for example, we've got six wines. So they're the puta madre to be paired with so many dishes.
Yeah, I know.
And when you try it once, you say, wow.
But it's still, young people should try it. And also, the health, what I said, it's one of the healthiest alcohol in the world. Maybe it's very low in sugar.
Very low in sugar.
And people also have it in their minds that sherry is only the sweet one.
Yes, yes.
The Pedro Ximénez.
Exactly.
It's not.
So, it's funny because the people say sherry and everybody has an image of sherry.
Yeah.
But it varies because cherries is potentially six different wines. Fino, Oloroso, Palo Cortado, Amontillado, PX, Cream. So there's a whole set of wines.
But we need to get it, David, we need to get it into people's minds. Not right now. It's what my grandmother's drink. It's, this is how I'm going to get that girl to buy a good bottle of vino.
Yes.
It is part of that.
Yes.
It's part of to get young people
excited. Yes. Yeah.
It's a big ask, but it's certainly doable based on the product,
the quality is definitely there. The way it's produced, the traditions behind it,
the story,
the magic behind it. I mean, it has everything. It has all the ingredients.
Yeah.
And we just need to find a way of packaging in a way, simple way of saying, right, give us a try, try it. Because it is a fantastic drink at the end of the day.
And I think some people will go and watch this and say, how can they be so incredibly passionate about this? But that's part of culture, isn't it? I mean, it's part of it's history of Spain.
It's the
and
essence.
Look where we are. Yeah. We're in Jerez.
We're in Andalucía, which is the essence of Spain.
Yeah.
So the sun, the grapes, the terroir.
Don't tell them that in Madrid.
The bodega. So if we try to get... I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. Whenever we have a visit here, like a guided visit, people come out evangelized.
Yeah.
You know? They come here, they try them, you explain it to them, and they go out and they tell 10 friends.
Yeah.
That is the source of... If we could bring more people here, I think we would have all of the success. Sherry would revive. It's bringing them to the essence of Spain, to the origins, and get
the quality as high as possible, as good as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably also heard. I was in a sherry bar in Madrid.
Yeah,
it's one of those older ones.
Yeah,
but I don't know what they do to that sherry. Maybe they mix it with water or something to make it more palatable for American tourists.
Yeah,
but it's not sherry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It happens?
It happens, yeah. Sometimes.
I knew it.
Sometimes you get. But you get all kinds of different quality, different qualities in cherries. And that hurts because everybody puts them in the same basket.
Yeah.
Cherry is this. It's you don't have. So we don't have that many chances at making it. A first impression, right?
Yeah.
And if they try the wrong sherry, it'll be, oh, sherry's that? I don't. I like it or I don't. If they try tradición, they'll go, that's wow, nice, yeah. That is.
But it's literally what an American, I spoke to an American guy in that sherry bar. I said, what do you think of it? I was just trying that. And he goes, it's the worst drink I've ever had in my life. But I understand because it was not this.
Yeah. We have, yeah.
So there's a responsibility for Spanish people, too.
No, there is, definitely. No, I think that, and in fact, what we were talking about before in the 70s and 80s, when it was all volume, there was no aging, well, there was very little aging. So as soon as you could get a two-year sherry, it was shipped. It was volume. We said, right, let's do it the right way. And I think there's all of the bodegas need to come together and focus on quality and say, right, we need to turn this around and just do the highest quality so that people, whenever they have that one first and only chance, wow.
Yeah.
That's opened.
Listen, David, I just wanted to say, for me, this is Spain in a glass.
And time.
Yes.
It's time in a glass also.
The time in a glass. It's 30, 40, 50 years I'm sitting. It sits right there in front of my glass. Mm. And it's Spain, and it's a tradition, and it's good, and it shouldn't be Americanized or globalized. No, this is Spain. David, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Que viva España.
Que viva España, por favor.
Nog even een laatste gedachte onder het genot van, nee, geen sherry, maar iced tea. Want als je om 10:00 ochtends zo'n tasting hebt, dan hakt het er op een gegeven moment er wel in op dezelfde dag. Nee, zeker na een reisdag en het is heel heftig. Ik heb het al eerder verteld dat zo'n show, zo'n roadshow doen, het lijkt vakantie, maar het is gewoon heel hard werken. Waarom zou ik dat niet gewoon eerlijk over zijn. We zitten hier geen theater te maken, maar we willen het zo mooi mogelijk maken. We moeten ook monteren op de on the road, in settings, in omstandigheden waar je niet, die je niet gewend bent. Dus dat is echt heel heftig en een heel proces. Maar ik wilde vandaag gewoon echt even beginnen met dat sherry. En nogmaals, wat ik al zei, het ging me niet om de drank. Per se. Behalve het feit dat ik er fan van ben en het was een ontdekking. Maar het gaat om tradities. Het gaat om tradities. En het gaat erom dat alles zo hetzelfde wordt. Alles wordt zo hetzelfde in het leven. En waarom is dat? Ik denk dat we het allemaal wel weten. En nogmaals, het zal een stuk politiek zijn wat we gaan doen, maar wil ik gewoon geïnspireerd worden. Ik wil praten met mensen, hoe mensen naar dingen kijken. En nogmaals, per land zien wat die klassieke dingen zijn, wat het nou zo uniek maakt. Want wij wonen in Europa, of in ieder geval de mensen die nu zitten te kijken zijn er geboren. Want we hebben natuurlijk een audience wereldwijd van mensen die Nederlands spreken, dat zie ik altijd in de e-mails. Dat is altijd heel grappig om te zien. Zo van Australië tot Canada, van Zuid-Afrika tot Finland en Rusland. Dus het is internationaal, maar het maakt culturen maakt het verschil. Ik ben iets aan het formuleren in mijn hoofd van wat ik zo erg vind in hoe deze bureaucraten, technocraten, deze griezels, de grote griezel op de achtergrond, alles één willen maken om de wereld over te nemen. Dat ze alles onder controle hebben en ze zijn al heel erg ver. Wat kan ze nou stoppen, deze globalisten? Wat kan ze nou stoppen? En wat voor schade is er al aangericht? Nou, ik weet zeker dat één ding wat ze kunnen stoppen is de muur van het menselijk bewustzijn. De muur van het menselijk bewustzijn. Als mensen het zien, als mensen van nature tegengas gaan geven om gewoon bijna uit dierlijke zelfbescherming, dan ben je er. Dan ben je al heel ver. Maar je vraagt je soms af hoe erg moet het worden voor mensen voordat ze gaan zien dat alles verloren gaat en dat ze op de verkeerde spoor geleid zijn of de verkeerde weg geleid zijn door wat dan ook, door propaganda, door zogenaamd goed onderwijs of media of wetenschap. Er zit zoveel fout aan. En 12% van het bruto nationaal product was ooit sherry in Spanje. En Spanje is natuurlijk een heel sterk land vroeger geweest. Hè? En hij heeft natuurlijk ook verschrikkelijke dingen gedaan aangericht in de wereld. Sterker nog, de 80-jarige oorlog. Kunnen we die met z'n allen nog herinneren? Nee, dat kunnen we met z'n allen niet meer herinneren. Niemand weet daarvan. Maar het zijn sterke mensen ook. Het is een sterke spirit. Maar ze zijn daar helemaal onder gekregen. Hè? Ze hebben ze helemaal onder gekregen. Ik heb vrienden en vriendinnen in Madrid. Die bijvoorbeeld, één iemand werkt bij Deloitte. Dus een miljardenwinst, miljardenomzet per jaar. Maar die werkt in Madrid 13 uur per dag voor €1300 per maand. Ik lieg niet. Spanjaarden verdienen zo weinig geld. Het is belachelijk dat dat ooit heeft kunnen plaatsvinden. Maar hoe is dat gedaan? Nou ja, color revolution after color revolution. Met andere woorden, verkiezingen, manipulatie in de media. Ook de informatie in Spanje is wat ik van mee krijg zo laag en zo slecht. Je krijgt alleen maar de mainstream media. Krijg je. Maar het ergste is tegelijkertijd, het zijn dus echt die traditionele, die echte Spaanse dingen waar de mensen nog steeds wel trots op zijn. Maar die zijn wel aan het verdwijnen. En sherry is er een voorbeeld van. 12% van het bruto nationaal product was het omdat Franco, de nationalist, die subsidieerde het geheel. Of in ieder geval, die gaf heel veel incentives om dat product wat typisch Spaans is, groot en mooi te houden. En ik ben daar alleen maar voorstander van. Als je iets hebt wat echt in je cultuur zit, dan moet je dat als overheid moet je dat stimuleren. En wat gebeurt er? De EU ontstaat. Spanje sluit zich aan. En sherry verdwijnt. Het is niks meer. Het is gewoon niks meer. En ik ga meer dingen zoeken hier in Spanje de komende dagen. Van wat er aan de hand is. Ik wil ook Nederlanders spreken die hier wonen. Die iets unieks doen. Ik heb nog een hoop dingen te doen. En dit was zo'n aftrap. En het ging me niet zozeer om de drank. Ondanks het feit dat Spanje is natuurlijk een land van wijn, eten, zon, fiesta, siesta. En dat merk je aan alles en dat proef je aan alles. En dat maakt het ook zo leuk. Het is natuurlijk waarom zoveel Nederlanders hier altijd naartoe komen ieder jaar op vakantie. En veel Nederlanders hier wonen. Het is bijzonder. Maar wat het belangrijkste is, dat het echte Spanje is echt nog te vinden. En dat heb je vandaag gezien. En net zoals dat in Nederland. En weet je wat ik heel belangrijk vind? Is dat we niet oordelen over de cultuur van andere landen. Dat doe ik heel erg bewust niet. Ik oordeel niet. Ik ben geboren in Nederland. Ik ben Nederlander. Dan ga ik niet over Spanje zeggen of het nou goed of fout is. En zo zullen een aantal dingen misschien tegenkomen de komende tijd. Maar ik wil er niet over oordelen. Het is echt Spaans. Het is hetzelfde met natuurlijk, ja, als je er niet over oordeelt, als je cultureel kijkt naar Zwarte Piet en Sinterklaas, moet je kijken hoe dat veranderd is in een hele korte tijd. Maar kijk, dat is hier ook aan de gang. En dat is jammer. I don't like it. Het is iets om over na te denken. Het is iets om. En ik ga meer op zoek naar. Weet je, ik hou van het individuele. Ik wil niet dat individualiteit verdwijnt. Ik wil niet dat iets unieks verdwijnt. Van een land of van een persoon. dat allemaal maar hetzelfde maken. Dat allemaal maar... Dat vind ik nou afgrijzelijk.
Al 5 jaar.
Dames en heren, daar zijn we weer. In een nieuwe setting, maar met dezelfde boodschap en vrijheid.
Compleet onafhankelijk.
Dit is de enige plek waar je de echte vrijheid en waar uiteindelijk het echte nieuws te vinden is.
Al 5 jaar op zoek naar de waarheid.
Nooit als er zoiets groots gebeurt, als je voelt dat iets groots op je afkomt. Niet dat eerste narratief.
Ja, dat zeg je heel vaak.
Ik zeg dat niet dat eerste narratief. Wacht even af en probeer in het nu te blijven leven. En probeer daar te blijven staan.
Al 5 jaar op het scherpst van de snede.
Your children, if you've let them, have been injected with a molecule. And I've got worse with it. For which they had so little safety data. You would probably not allow a pet of yours to be injected.
Al 5 jaar verzet tegen het kwaad.
Ze hebben dezelfde vijand en ze spelen ons tegen elkaar uit. Als mensen dat gaan zien, het is game over voor die gasten.
Al 5 jaar met de rug kaarsrecht.
Ik geloof nog steeds dat onze beste tijden nog voor ons liggen.
Al 5 jaar met een lach.
Ik stop even mijn speech terug in mijn Ik haat Klaus Schwab tasje.
En al 5 jaar strijdend voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. We hebben financiële support nodig om onafhankelijk door te gaan. Steun ons voor de vrijheid van het vrije woord. Ga naar jensen.nl. Het vrije geluid laat zich niet censureren.